Don't you wish that we were all at that spiritual point in our lives? None of self and all of thee. We certainly need to be striving for that goal. It's so good to be back with you after a week vacation. We enjoyed a relaxing time, and I know that you enjoyed a break as well. We're glad, though, that we were allowed to be back today, and it's good to be with you. It's great to see the Gray family bringing visitors with them, and we love to see the visitors, as well as the Kirby's and Adams families. Good to have all of you here, and there may be other visitors as well. We're greatly thankful for your presence and hope that you'll come back every opportunity you have. I appreciate Alan and Ron preaching on my behalf last Sunday. I heard they did a good job. However, and you know, the however always has to come with preaching. However, I heard that they do not preach 20-minute sermons. But 15 minutes. Okay. I have a monopoly on the 20-minute sermons, okay? All right. But I do appreciate the job that they did. This morning we're going to look at the subject of do unto others. Do unto others. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, no, walk in the town. I said, there are no flowers there. He said, no flowers, but a crown. I said, but the skies are black. There's nothing but noise and din. And he wept as he sent me back. There is more, he said. There is sin. I said, but the air is thick and fogs are veiling the sun. He answered, yet souls are sick and souls in the dark undone. I said, I shall miss the light and friends will miss me, they say. He answered, choose tonight if I am to miss you or they. I pleaded for time to be given. He said, is it hard to decide? It will not seem so hard in heaven to follow the steps of your guide. I cast one look at the fields, then set my face to the town. He said, my child, do you yield? Will you leave the flowers for the crown? Then into his hand went mine, and into my heart came he. And I walk in a light divine, the path I had feared to see. We're going to be looking at Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke chapter 6, beginning verse 27 through 36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So what are we to do with our enemies? Jesus reveals some tough sayings in his ministry. And some of those tough sayings were deep theological concepts about which we still debate today. And then Jesus reveals some tough sayings due to the difficulty in carrying out those sayings in our everyday lives. The latter is what we're trying to digest and decipher today. The what about which Jesus spoke is not difficult to understand. Just as I read that passage to you, the words that were fairly simple, and most of us would understand exactly what Jesus said. But the how is extremely difficult to carry out in our lives. Do you have any enemies? Well, as Christians, we know that we are not supposed to hate anyone. But there are some people who make it very difficult to like them. Even Jesus had his enemies. But Jesus' enemies were people who hated him, not people whom he hated. You don't voluntarily die for people whom you hate. He loved people who were not very lovable. You may think, well, I certainly know some of those unlovable people. But you need to remember that we are the ungodly, unlovable sinners for whom Jesus died. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That would be you and me. God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The enemies we have should be those who hate us, not those whom we hate if we are to be like Jesus. And we should attempt to eliminate our enemies by making them our friends. You know, the Lord could have made things a lot easier if he had used a softer word to describe the response that we are to have to those who regard us as their enemies. And what word do you think that Jesus used for love throughout this text? That's right. It's the word agape. An unconditional love, a commitment to love, a will to love. Now, there's some good news and there's some bad news about the use of that particular word. The good news is that if Jesus had used the word phileo, then he would have expected us to have the same feelings of emotion toward our enemies as we do our friends. Phileo, friendship. But that would be impossible, wouldn't it? God does not command emotions. Emotions are an outgrowth of love or of hate. And the bad news is that we don't want to commit love or to will love to people who hate us, persecute us, and mistreat us. But that is precisely what the Lord expects us to do. That is precisely what the Lord did in his own life. So how are we to deal with our enemies? A man once asked the highly respected Jewish rabbi named Hillel to teach him the whole law. And this was Hillel's response. What is hateful to thee, do not do to another. The Stoics had a similar statement. What you do not wish to be done to yourself, do not you do to any other. Now, is it just my imagination, or do those statements closely resemble Jesus' statements that we are commonly referring to as the Golden Rule? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Could you imagine what a better world we would have if we lived like that? Instead of the hatred that we see in our nation and throughout the world, there could at least be friendship, if not even agape love. Because if we treat others the way that we want them to treat us, then we're going to treat them kindly and lovingly and gently. Not the way some people treat others today. No matter how you translate these words, the meaning is the same. Our Lord fully expects us to have a divine response to every human mistreatment. And this is despite the pain or hurt that we may feel. God made us people with emotions. But this does not mean that we have to be ruled by our emotions. God is the Lord, and he is the ruler of every aspect of our lives. And Jesus did everything that his Father wanted him to do, despite the persecution, the pain, the angry words, the spiteful attitudes that his enemies inflicted on him. It appears to me that Jesus clearly defines our objectives and our expectations in this text. Look again at his emphasis in verses 32, 33, and 34. Even sinners love those who love them. So it's no great thing to do that, but it is a great thing to love those who don't love us. Even sinners do good to those who do good to them. So it's no wonderful thing that we do that. But it is wonderful when we turn around and we do good to someone who has done evil to us. That requires a great deal of love and a great deal of discipline and a great deal of Christ-likeness. Even sinners lend money to people when they expect to have the principal returned in full. He says, that's really no big deal. But what if they don't? When we start talking about our pocketbooks, it gets serious, doesn't it? The expectations that God has for his spiritual children are not the same as his expectations for people of the world. We cannot act like the world and claim to be born of God. As God's children, we are expected to rise to a much higher plane of living. Those who are of the world love people who love them first, just as we described. But Jesus' expectations for you and me are much higher. We must rise above our emotional feelings and commit to love those who hate us, who curse us, who mistreat us, who persecute us, and even take advantage of us. Those who are of the world will do good to people who first do good to them. But once again, Jesus' expectations for you and for me are much higher. We must rise above reciprocal behavior. I will do good to those who do good to me, and I will do evil to those who do evil to me. That's reciprocal behavior. But we must rise above that. Those who are of the world lend people money when they are confident they will get it back. And Jesus certainly gave the benefit of the doubt in this particular example. Under the law of Moses, there were strict laws against usury. Usury is the exorbitant rates of interest that some people may charge. The Israelites, some of them, were taking unfair advantage of their fellow Israelites. But some people of the world will lend money without even expecting any interest in return. There may be some people at some time in your life that have lent you money without charging you interest. Again, Jesus' expectations for you and for me are much higher. Jesus' examples relates to people who are truly in need. He does not mean that we are required to give money to those who are able to work but are too lazy to do so. In fact, if we do that, we are violating another scripture. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. But there are times that we should certainly give to needy people without expecting to receive any interest or even the principal in return. You may want to turn to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Romans 12, beginning in verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I want to say something about that particular passage, especially the last part of verse 20. In so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. I've heard of some people who said, "I'm going to do good to this person because I want burning coals to be heaped on his head." I don't think that's what we're saying here. I think what we're saying is, you do good to people even when they don't do good to you. And maybe, just possibly, that will help your relationship. I believe that's what Paul meant when he wrote that passage. There is another very important principle found in this text. He himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We are to be kind and merciful and compassionate and forgiving and loving to the same people to whom Jesus shows these characteristics. And of course, that means everyone. There is no lovelier way to thank God for your sight than by giving a helping hand to someone in the dark. And Helen Keller wrote that. Another person wrote this, a statement that you're familiar with, I'm sure. I would rather light one candle than to curse the darkness. We are to live a life that shines a bright light for others. Not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify our Father who is in heaven. How do you do unto other people? There may be some who are here this morning who need to and who want to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that need and that desire, we hope that you will do so now as we stand and as we sing.